saw my baby then. She was stretched out on that long white table, so young, so sweet, so fair. Well, let her go, God bless her. Well, wherever her soul may be, she could have searched this whole world over.
You're welcome.
Way to be.
I can't drink if there's still...
There's yeah. all this fucking, like, just, I feel like my life has exploded around us. I don't...
Make yourself.
Thank you. Ooh, yeah. It was wet.
I just spilled fucking water all over it.
Well, yeah, but you know, like, you know how, like, okay, so have you ever had somebody, like, go to the bathroom and come back? You're still, like, soaking yourself. And come back and have, like, a little bit of water on their hand and, like, go like this and be like, teach me how to pee. Has anybody ever done that to you?
No, and that's a damn good thing because I think there's a reason no one has ever done that to me.
I don't know, dude.
I got sparkling water onto my titty.
Oh, no.
It's okay. We'll nourish.
Now you have sparkling titties.
Yeah. My nipples will be extra nourished.
All right.
Okay.
Good intro. Anywho.
Yes.
Moving along. Moving right along at a clip. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Hauntheads, the podcast that goes bump in the night. I am your host, Janine Mercer, and I am joined here, as always, by...
the lovely and talented Katie McCauley.
Now, see, that is only okay when I say it, because when you say it, it makes it sound like you're real fucking full of yourself.
Maybe I am. Maybe I just had a hard day, and I need you to give me this. I need this.
Fine, you
say
can
I'm lovely
it.
And talented.
You're lovely and talented. The lovely and talented Katie McCauley, everybody.
Thank you.
How has the week been? We're recording this on a Wednesday.
Yeah, it feels a little
which
weird.
Is a little strange.
Yeah, doing it closer to the beginning of the week. I'm used to us doing it at the end of the week.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I spent the entire day today going through files all day for 8 hours. So my brain is a little, I don't know. But it's that.
Yeah.
It's something.
A little fried.
Yeah.
A little fried.
See, I can't even think of the word fried. Yeah. It's very good that I have nice notes. Otherwise, I'd probably start to say my piece and then just zone. How are you doing?
I am okay. I started this new job, and for the most part, I often feel like I am horribly underqualified.
That's always very stressful.
It's very stressful. And so today, at the end of the day, I kind of felt slightly more able to do my job, which was good. It was a little bit of a boost in the right direction. But starting anything new from scratch, because my new job is an IT job and I've never worked in IT, I don't know how to make it happen yet.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. So,
I got
it's
there.
Like, yeah, there was a minute, there was a pause, and then it came, yeah. You got there.
I did.
But yeah, it's like, there are just so many new things that I have to learn. And it's actually, it's kind of nice because my boss was where I was.
Oh, so they moved with
so
you,
so
kind of?
He, no, like, my boss used to be me.
Oh, so
he knows how I feel. And he's a really nice guy. He's really cool to work for.
What's his name?
Whatever. His name is Matt.
Matt.
Mm-hmm.
My friend,
Mr. Matt,
had her boss's name is Amos.
Amos.
And the first time she said that.
Famous Amos.
Well, the first time she said it, I definitely misheard it. I was like, your boss's name is Butthole? And she's like, no! I was like,
Amos?
Damn.
What?
But Matt is good. Matt doesn't sound like
yeah,
anybody
no.
parts.
No, I went from a Greg to a Matt. And they were both wonderful.
Well, you'll figure it out. You'll hit your stride, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just get... I don't know. I don't really want to go on with this for super long. Those are my peas. Do you like those?
I do.
I got little succulents that look like peas, and they have to take up residence in this room because we have a cat who is an asshole and will eat the peas.
I just had to poke one.
There will no longer be peas on Earth because he will eat them. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I am hopeful.
Well.
Positive.
Do you want some good news?
I absolutely want some good news.
We have 7 followers on our Instagram.
That's awesome.
Yes. One of them is me. It still counts.
Do they post like similar things that?
A lot of like that I've checked out. It just seems like just a variety of peeps. I haven't super stalked them this week yet. Okay. But I
will. Well, you know, goals for next week.
Yes.
Stalk people.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Cool.
But yeah. All so right. Remember to follow us at Blood Marmalade.
Right.
Yeah,
we absolutely want you to follow us so that you can see all of the creepy things that live in this room with us.
Yeah, what should I take a picture and post today? Which animal should be the first animal?
I mean, I feel like I keep saying that I'm going to post pictures of either Rancid or Artie.
I think Rancid. I think our first animal
should be Rancid.
Should be Rancid. Mm.
He was the second piece of taxidermy that I acquired. And I got him at Maxwell Street Days in Cedarburg for $32. And then I walked out with him under my arm to many disgusted noises and screams, which I loved. I thought that was fantastic that people were freaked out. Because I was like, that's good. I want you to be freaked out. Be freaked out about my taxidermy raccoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. All right. So getting right into the shit of it. What do you have for us today?
So we had to look up the correct way for me to pronounce it.
We did, and then Katie did an accent, which she's not going to do because we don't want to offend anybody. Because we did Italian accents last time, and I didn't get any complaints. But I have a funny feeling that there are a lot of people are, like, not listening to us anymore.
Well, I am going to be talking about the historic and haunted Develis Cave. Was that how it was?
I think it was Davlis.
Davlis.
I think so. Yeah. Davlis. Davlis.
Do you ever, like, when I was a kid, I read things. So I can spell amazingly, but pronunciation, like, chamomile, I thought was chamomile when I was a child.
Chamomile?
Yeah.
When I was a dog groomer in a past life, there was a lady that used to bring her chihuahua in to be groomed and have his nails clipped. And she used to say that he was a chihuahua. And she was like an 80-year-old woman who just loved her chihuahua.
Her chihuahua.
And was like, I brought in my, I forget what his name was. His name was like Tom or something, like a human
Bart.
Male name. But like 3 letters, Bob or Tom or.
Rob.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably Tom. I think it was Tom. But anyway, yeah, she'd be like, Tom the chihuahua is here for his. It's like, really? Chihuahua? Okay, whatever. We'll just laugh at you behind your back after you leave.
Did you pronounce anything weirdly? I mean, you're Canadian, so.
What does that mean?
Not that that's bad, but I know that.
You!
Well, things that you pronounce correctly might, to me, not sound correctly because I'm American. That's what I meant.
Well, okay, so, for example, I often have to stop before I say the word advertisement. Because I always want to say advertisement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we'll be driving in the car, and I'll be like, can you please say advertisement for me to my wife? And she's like, advertisement? That's it. Yep. Uh-huh. But no, I mean, like, where I'm from in Canada, we're not so English that, like, the trunk of a car is a boot and an elevator is a lift. Like, it's not so much, but some of the pronunciations are a little English.
See, I grew up, and my mom always said pillow, not pillow.
Pallow.
So I said pillow until I went to college, and I got so much shit that I still consciously am like, can you hand me that pillow?
Yeah.
And it sounds weird coming off my tongue.
Like, somebody at work today was saying breakfasts, breakfasts?
Instead of breakfast?
Instead of breakfasts. Breakfasts? And I was like, I don't even know what to say to you right now. Breakfasts. I mean, we used to, when we were living in Bayview, we used to have neighbors. And the chick that lived downstairs from us used to call it breakfast. And it was just all very much like smushed together. Breakfast.
I don't enjoy that, but.
Yeah. I mean, for some people it works. And it's totally, like, it can be a cultural thing. It can be like, you know, just like a this part of town thing or a this part of the world thing. But yeah, I was always like, breakfast?
Yeah.
Breakfast.
I always feel bad because I'm like, it might be like me with chamomile. That might just be
how
it sounds. So like, chamomile. I don't ever want to really judge because like chamomile or like, you know, cathedral. I said cathedral.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it looked.
Yeah.
To me. Uh-huh. But, yeah,
well, that's,
so.
I feel like the GPS for Menominee River Parkway, it always says Moni Moni. And I'm always like, here she come now. Moni Moni Parkway.
Well, what are you going to be talking about today?
I have got The Haunting of Catherine Snow. I went back to my roots a little bit on this one. And decided that I was going to talk about something St. John's related.
Ooh.
St. John's. Yeah. In Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
Which is actually Newfoundland.
Yeah, Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
So you're going to go first. Because yes, I went first last time.
Yes. So I'm very excited to talk about Davalus.
Davalus.
Davalus Cave.
Okay.
So, it's a cave.
Good start.
In Greece.
Oh, man.
That its name comes from the wide belief that an infamous, like, 19th century outlaw, Christos Natsios, who was called Davalus, used the cave as a hideout.
Gotcha.
So, technically, it's officially called the Cave of Pendeli, because it's by Pendeli, but no one calls it that. Everyone calls it the Davalus Cave. So, there's, like, stories that say he hid treasure inside the cave. There's a story that he had, like, tunnels through the cave to, like, go to, like, his lover's house, who was, like, a famous, like, wealthy lady or whatever. But sadly, those have not been proven.
So how deep are the caves? Like,
pretty deep. And a lot of them, though, sealed off, actually.
I'm worried that I'm putting a sexual... I mean, I legitimately want to know how deep the cave is. Stop. Stop raising your eyebrows at me. Because I didn't intend it, and then I started chuckling.
But the cave itself is just a network of tunnels under the mountain. One leads to a clearing with a small pond of water, and it's really interesting because in there's evidence that it was used as a site to worship the Greek god Pan, the part human, part goat, patron of shepherds.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's me, so you know I got info on Pan. I'm hella into...
You're there.
Yes.
You're there with
it. I was like,
it.
Woo! But, yeah, so it was a place of worship for the followers of Pan and the nymphs. And so... Let's get some Pan info up in here.
All right.
So, apparently he was an ugly fellow, which may feel sad, but he was a half-man, half-goat. He is the Greek deity of shepherds, flocks, mountain wilds, and rustic music. And I was like, if you're going to pick some things to be a god of, hell yeah, why not go with that?
Rustic music.
Yeah.
Like, blowing into the top of a bottle, or... creating a guitar out of an ice cream container and a stick?
I think you're thinking of Appalachian music, which we're talking more just like, I don't know, like...
You mean Appalachian.
Appalachian?
Appalachian.
Appalachian. Anyhow, I don't know the definition in this case of what rustic music is, but I imagine it's just like really like folk.
Yeah, like heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably a lot of bass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is depicted as energetic and frightening, with wild, unbridled, creative force of nature. Mm. So, like,
he don't give a fuck about nothing. He just doing what the fuck he wants to do.
It's just Pan being Pan, yo.
Yeah. And he is companion of the nymphs, which are the daughters of Zeus that live in, like, forests and lakes.
Oh.
So, but the thing
is, I mean, if you're gonna surround yourself with somebody, nymphs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd be up for some nymphs.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. And we're back!
So, Pan began, like, being worshipped in rustic areas, which is why it makes sense that, like, the Davalos Cave is a place of worship for him. Like, really far away from populated city centers. And he did not have, like, large temples ever built in his honor, because he was, like, the god of, like, mountains and shepherds and stuff like that. So, like, a cave would be the perfect place for it. He possessed enormous strength and could run for long periods of time, and was impervious to injury. He could transform objects into different forms and could teleport himself. He was very shrewd and apparently, like, really funny. Probably had to do that to make up for his ugly face.
You know,
like, humor.
I'm picturing, like, the random guys that I used to meet at bars.
See, I thought of... And no offense, like, to Mr. Thomas, you know, I'm really, that's what my brain went to.
I'm really fast. Yeah? You are, huh? Go have another beer. Please leave me alone, Pan.
But, however, he wasn't that great of a dude. Like, no offense. He got, like, really, like, romantically interested in a lot of nymphs and goddesses, but, like, they would spurn his advances and be like, nah, bitch. Like, yeet, go away.
So literally the creeper in the bar.
Yeah. I just don't want to offend him, because it seems like he had positive points, but just not when it came to anything romantic in nature.
We can't all be good.
Yeah, he would pursue them so much that they would turn themselves into inanimate objects to escape him and flee. So, like, when you think of Pan, do you think of his flute?
Yeah.
Like, he's normally depicted in imagery and
he's
just,
like,
statues and stuff.
Dancing,
like, having,
playing his flute, yeah.
Yeah, his, like, little reed flute. So, that's actually based in a story that a wood nymph fled from Pan's attentions, and he followed her, and her goddesses turned her into a river reed in order to hide her from him. As the winds blow through the reeds, they make a gentle musical sound. But he didn't know which reed she was, so he cut several from the group and set them in a line to make the musical instrument. So he literally, like, chopped her down and made a flute and then used the flute.
And then blew into her?
Yeah, for all of time.
Wow.
But the word panic actually comes from, like, the god Pan, because he helped his friend survive a vicious struggle in war by letting out a cry that frightened the enemy and caused him to run away. So that's the origin of the word panic, which is a sudden uncontrollable fear that leads people into irrational behavior.
I did not know that. That's
so there's our little side trail into Pan, because you can't tell me that, like, Davalos Cave was a site where we worshipped a god and then not have me, the Wiccan, go into the god. Okay, so getting back to the history of it, Davalos Cave, during the Middle Ages, was used by Christian hermits, and it was actually really customary during the Middle Ages for places with where idolatry happened in the eyes of the church, for them to erect churches in those places to, like, disrupt the, like, pagan practices. So a double church was built in the entrance of the cave, which is actually still there, and it's beautiful. One part was devoted to Saint Spiridion and one to Saint Nicholas. So I just thought of Santa then, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so people worshipped in those churches for a long time. And it's believed that currently, like, religious groups and mainly occultists do still go, like, into the cave to do some ritualistic stuff. But I did try and look into that. Although, to be fair, if I was, like, in a secret, like, group, I wouldn't post on the internet, hey, this is what we do in the cave. So, but I was unable to find any information about, like, recent
things happening there, or, like, evidence of recent, like, I don't know, like, bonfire parties or what have you.
Sure.
Okay. But things get a little interesting as we move forward in time to 1977. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Construction started at the cave. It was not clear who was behind it. It could have been U.S. governmental pressures to the Greek government. Like, there was something really, like, sinister about it, and no one would talk about it while it was happening. Like, there was just a whole bunch of, like, government officials. Like, they got blocked off and closed off to the public. They could no longer go there. Hmm. They erected temporary structures around it. And, like, they say that they were trying to make, like, a radar base or a communication base, but some people think that they were trying to make a nuclear weapon storage facility.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And then, in the 1980s, they started, like, digging new tunnels all of a sudden. And then, this is where it gets interesting, then one day, they completely stopped. Everyone left. No explanation was ever given. And they just abandoned the site completely. The government was, like, there, invested, building structures around it, working on it. And then they completely just stopped in the middle of, like, they were blocking off some tunnels, carving out new ones, and then it just ended, and they left. And this was seen as being very suspicious, so people believed, and we'll get to next, like, the paranormal activity in the area. So people believe that contributed to, like, we're dealing with it, yeah, and we're done! No more, because there has been some weird shit that has gone down in the Davos Cave.
Cool.
But, yeah, like, one thing is for sure, that people definitely did experimentation there of some sort. And after they left, when people were in there looking around at all the stuff, the only thing they could find besides, like, the abandoned, like, buildings, which some of them are still kind of there, like, they're really decrepit now.
Yeah.
But there were, like, cancer medication left.
Oh.
And so people were like, what y'all doing?
Right?
Yeah, so they were there for years, from 1977 to 1983, and then
nothing. Ghost town.
Ghost town. Oh. No explanation was ever given. So I thought, I was like, oh, I wanted to find more. I tried so hard, but obviously it's the freaking government. Like, if they don't want you to know something, you ain't gonna know it.
Well, right, and you probably don't want to dick around investigating.
I mean, I did for...
a little bit.
No, I'm gonna say I spent, like, last night, I think I spent about 4 hours trying to find out information about what the government was doing, just because it interested me, and I had no luck. Huh. I mean, to be fair, I'm not, like, a master of the dark web or something. I just Googled various terms hoping to find something, so it wasn't, like, the most intensive. But I stuck it out, and I was, like, looking and trying to find and, like, clicking on, like, the sources of the different sources that I have, you know, trying to find more, like, what was the government doing? But, nah, there's nothing. Okay.
I think probably weapons storage facility would probably be a good guess.
Yeah. Some people obviously posited that, like, they were doing experimentation on people, which them leaving, like, cancer treatment medication, like, the only thing they left behind.
Well, but what kind of medication was it? Because, I mean, I don't know. Could be oxycodone. And
no, it was, like, very...
Like, bags of chemo drugs? Or, like, I mean, like...
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that that's all that was left, but that's also a strange thing to choose to leave behind.
Well, yeah,
like,
but
if you're packing up everything and getting the fuck out of Dodge, why are you leaving drugs?
Well, but if you're in a hurry.
True. If you're in such a hurry, you leave the drugs.
You just you're like, fuck it, and you run out with what you got on your back and whatever you can grab.
So, now we'll get into fun part.
Cool.
Which is all the various paranormal things that have been reported as happening in this cave.
Are there many?
There's a whole page.
Oh, there's a whole fucking page. Nice.
Yeah. I got a couple of places I went to where they kind of gave first-person accounts, but they didn't seem very credible, so I didn't include them.
I went
more for the ones that had actual sources behind them. Like, one person, it just seemed like they Googled, like, this cave, and then bullshitted something. It did not seem very legitimate. Yeah. However, it may have been.
Mm.
Putting it out there, I don't know. I don't live their life, but I was like... I'd need a bit more before I would share this information. Okay. So there are dozens of urban legends connected to the caves. They have gone back, like, way, way back to, like, when Pan was worshipped there and stuff like that. A lot of people think that it was because of all the weird shit that went down there is why they chose it as a place of worship to their deity. Because... everything was all fucky.
Right.
So, some people who go there to explore the caves get completely lost inside of them and completely turned around. There have been documented disappearances of people going into the caves and not fucking coming out again.
Oh.
And people who get lost and they don't remember how long they've been in there. And they're just, like, really disoriented, which I think could be, like, maybe there's, like, a natural gas thing or something going on. Like, you go down the wrong thing. Oh, sure, and, like, yeah. Because I know that minors sometimes, like, you, like disorientation can be a thing, but...
Well, or, like, if there's some sort of weird magnetic...
Yeah. But people will go in there, and they will, like, completely lose track of time and have no idea how long they've been there. And, like, come out and just be completely, like, not lucid whatsoever.
Wow.
Okay, so people have seen glowing orbs and vague forms of human figures consisting of mists and shadows... Which, that always gets me like, So some people have seen strange creatures resembling sheep that disappear when approached. Other people have seen cat-like creatures walking up on two hind legs.
Oh.
Yes. But the cool thing, well, to me, is that cameras literally often cease to function in different places within the caves. And in photographs, odd shapes and figures not seen when the photo was taken do appear. Which to me lends some validity. But yeah, there's places inside of these tunnels where you cannot, your camera will not work.
So they're actually taking pictures with film?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, there's always the chance that...
Well, if it's a digital...
The film is compromised or whatever... If they're using a digital or they're using a phone or something, that's less likely, depending on the quality of the camera.
And I mean, I didn't talk to these people individually, but like when I was looking at it, they were legitimate photographs.
Like Google their personal information and call them on the phone?
Nah.
And be like...
Ain't nobody got time for that. Dude. I spent 8 hours sorting files, man.
Come on.
But cameras would cease to function, and I think that interests me.
Hmm.
Like, when you're coming up to the cave, there is a hand imprint, like, in the stone, like, deeply embedded. Oh. That is, like, super, super old that they don't know how that got there. The picture of that gave me a weird feeling down my spine.
Strange.
I was like, so, this, to me, this happened when the military was there.
Hmm.
A child's footprints were found. Imprinted on a concrete floor while it was still wet, that had been laid by military personnel in one of the new tunnels. The footprints showed that a barefoot child walked up to a dead end where the rock had not been blasted, but did not walk back again. As though the child had either vanished into thin air or walked through the wall.
Crazy.
That's fun. I'm like, yeah.
Right?
There's just been a lot of rumors of, like, dark shadowy forms, ozone near the entrance to the cave, tire tracks. Because you cannot really drive right up to this cave. It's really high up. It's very steep. But people will see, like, tire tracks going up impossibly steep slopes. So there's no way whatsoever a vehicle can actually go up that.
and uninhabited cars and objects that, like, roll uphill. Which, again, a lot of, there could be something magnetic going on, like with the cameras not working, disorientation. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to, like, a mystery spot where your car will, like, move itself because of the magnetic field?
I feel like I was when I was a kid.
There was one in Michigan that we went to that was really interesting. But also, sometimes water would run uphill. And I was like, I want to see that. I couldn't find anything to actually see that. But now, the last paranormal thing, again, happened when the military was there, which is why I lean towards maybe they were just like, yeah, we're fucking done. We're done. We're out here. Was, there was a doll hanging against the mountainside at, like, such an inaccessible spot that a member of the Army Special Forces was the only person who was able to reach it. Like, they had to, like, and, like,
do, like, some ninja shit
and get up there. Yeah, to, like, get up and get it. And, like, it took them considerable effort. But, overnight, a replica, an identical replica of the same, like, creepy-ass doll was seen in the exact same place.
Weird.
Yeah. So,
I mean, dolls, creepy, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just weird. This is one, though, where I'm not 100% certain that it's completely paranormal. Like, I think there could be, like, energy in the area, but I don't know as much that we go for, like, haunted or something of that sort. There could just be, like, it could just be, like, a power point where energies converge and you see weird shit.
Those child's footprints, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. That's, yeah. And the doll.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how you would, I mean, how would you fake that? I mean, if you weren't there with any children.
Yes. And my thing is, that's while the military was there. So you know they were, like, monitoring the situation. Right. And, like, it wasn't just like, oh, yeah, we have this wet cement, but whatever, we're just going to walk away. Deuces.
Right.
Come back Tuesday or
did
something.
You, did you see pictures of the footprints?
I did not. I saw pictures of the handprint, and but I did not see.
Because, like, I mean, it might have been a local kid fucking with him.
Yeah. And, like, walked it, up and then, like, walked backwards.
Walked backwards in his own footprints, or her own footprints, but
its
own footprints. But it's like, you know, how, you know, well formed were they then?
Yeah.
You know, if they were just impactions in concrete, or if you could actually see, like, the outline of the foot and toes. And
that's,
like,
what, that's the impression I was led to believe by my different sources, was that, like, you could clearly see that it was a child's bare foot going up to a wall. Yeah, so I was just like, whew, interesting. Yeah.
Huh.
So, yeah, that's what I have for everyone this week.
Wow.
Dabbler's Cave.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I just wonder, though, like, if a lot of people come together to worship in a specific area, that energy, I believe, like, that would remain.
Sure.
So, especially, and I'm guessing, like, the dichotomy between, like, pagan worship and, like, Judeo-Christian might have caused a little bit of conflict, like, energy-wise, that could have rubbed off on the area.
Wow.
That's my final thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to kind of keep an eye in the next little bit to see if there's anything new.
That is a place, actually, where I would go visit.
Oh, you absolutely would?
I would. I'm a broke-ass bitch. Probably ain't never gonna happen. But that place, when I was looking at it, I want to go there. I want to go there real bad, actually.
Huh.
You gotta Google some pictures.
We'll file that away.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
All right.
When you become rich and famous, take me to the Dabbler's Cave.
Well, maybe we'll become rich and famous from this podcast, and then
we can go
for the podcast. Probably not.
Yeah, but I want to go there. It's on my list.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you got for me?
So, as I said before, I've got the haunting of Catherine Snow. Catherine Mandeville Snow was, from what I've read, her and her family had a bad time in Ireland. Poverty.
Peeps.
Yeah, poverty and shit. So they came over to Newfoundland in pursuit of a better life, a better way of being.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Mandeville Snow was born in Harbor Grace in 1793. Married John Snow in...
John Snow?
John Snow in 1828. And she lived with him in Salmon Cove near Port de Grave.
You know nothing, John Snow.
I know. He knows nothing. Apparently, their marriage was very volatile. Neighbors said that their relationship was strained, and that their marriage, when they finally took that next step and actually got married, was even worse. They were prone to terrible fights and noise, so the neighbors were puzzled when the noise suddenly stopped.
Oh, shit.
Then they wondered what happened to Catherine's husband, John Snow, and then their minds instantly settled on murder, because the only way to stop two people screaming at one another, obviously, is to knock one of them off.
Yeah.
And then the screaming stops.
Or maybe she just showed him her titties.
Maybe.
Like, shut up.
And he was like, whoa!
And then stopped arguing.
Maybe she had sparkling titties.
Yes.
Maybe it was like a thing. And she was like, yeah. Jon Snow was originally from a place called Bearneed. Some of these place names are very strange. Some of the names that I posted were Blow Me Down, Hibbs Hole, Bearneed, and Pick Eyes. And then I said, take a guess. Are these A, names of musical groups, or B, names of places in Newfoundland? Hint, it's B. So, yeah, Bearneed was very close to Pick Eyes, which was actually just this peninsula that kind of juts out into the ocean. And if you look at it on Google Maps, the roads don't even go out there. Like, Pick Eyes is just right on the edge.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I'm thinking that the reason why they called it Pick Eyes was because the air was so salty from the ocean, because they were surrounded on three sides.
Yeah, that, like...
they were, like, constantly, like, rubbing their faces or something? I don't know. But it was kind of funny. I was chuckling about it yesterday that there was a place called Pick Eyes, because I had no idea there was a place called Pick Eyes.
I like Blow Me Down best.
Yeah, Blow Me Down. I enjoy the three hearts, which are Heart's Desire, Heart's Content, and Little Heart's Ease. They're very pretty. Yeah. And again, I mean, I think I've said this before on the podcast, but there are a lot of places in Newfoundland that have very few people living in them. And even though currently they have very few people living in them, there were even fewer people living in them before the government said that everybody had to start moving. So people were actually, like, moving their houses.
Oh, dang.
They had to, like, float them, yeah, so that they could relocate. Because, you know, for the purposes of census and the purposes of getting them help when they needed it and whatever, it just wasn't logical to have all of these people living in Pick Eyes with no fucking roads.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that they were like, hey, go, you know, go to Bearneed or whatever, which is the next largest community, you know, the quote-unquote largest community. But yeah, anyway, so some funny place names.
Yes.
Catherine and John quickly grew their family from 2 to 9.
Oh my God.
And they lived together in a modest home in Salmon Cove.
Seven children.
Yeah. He was a planter and a fisherman by trade. On the night of August 31st, 1833, after another of their knockdown, drag-out brawls, Snow disappeared. Not necessarily without a trace, because the police came out to investigate his disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
And they found nothing but a patch of dried blood on his fishing stage, which is like a wharf that you tie your boat to.
Yeah.
The police are instantly convinced that they're dealing with murder. 100%. They're like, yep, okay, somebody killed this fucker, he's dead, whatever.
You couldn't handle seeing those titties.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Death by titty.
Death by titty, yes. So, they quickly arrested Tobias Mandeville, who was the first cousin of Catherine Snow, and they believed that Snow's wife was carrying on an affair with him.
Oh, shit.
And also Arthur Spring, who was a household servant. Now, I didn't really get too terribly much information about, like, their financial situation or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. It seemed odd to me that they would have a servant.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't...
probably needed help with seven
youngsters. Well, you have to remember, too, that, you know, the winters in Newfoundland sometimes are quite long.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you do? You know, I mean...
See them titties.
You make the best of it. So, let's see here. Catherine instantly goes into hiding. So, she runs into the woods to evade capture, but she eventually turns herself into the authorities in Harbor Grace, which is, like, the next largest community. Now, she likely thought that the police were just going to be like, hey, so... where your husband at? What the fuck is going on? And she would have been like, I don't know. And then, that's my best impression, batting her eyelashes. And they would have been like, okay, peace out. Whatever, done.
Deuces.
But instead, they decided that they were going to hold her along with Tobias and Arthur.
Who's watching the children?
I have no idea.
Are they watching themselves?
Probably. I mean, depending on their ages.
That's what I was thinking.
There might have been older ones. This article is from the Newfoundlander, which was a newspaper that existed back then. From Thursday, September 12th, 1833. A most atrocious and unnatural murder has lately been perpetrated in Port de Grave. In Conception Bay. How appropriate is it that he was killed in Port de Grave? Mr. John Snow, a respectable planter of that place, having suddenly and mysteriously disappeared, inquiry was set on foot, and from certain suspicious circumstances, a servant of Snow's named Arthur Spring and another man of the name of Mandeville were arrested. They're talking about Tobias there.
Mm-hmm.
But there not being sufficient evidence to incriminate them, they were, we understand, released on bail. We learn, however, that on Saturday last, Spring made a voluntary confession in which he stated that his master had actually been murdered at the instigation of his own wife, that he had been shot by Mandeville in his, Spring's, presence, and that after the deed was accomplished, they had attached the body to a grapnel and thrown it into the sea. Mandeville, we understand, on being arrested and examined, admitted part of Spring's evidence but denied having been the actual perpetrator of the crime, alleging that Spring was the principal. Mandeville and Spring were brought to this town and committed to jail on Sunday evening. The woman had previously quitted Port de Grave, but although in an active search has been made for her, she had not, at the time of writing this article, been discovered. Snow and his wife were the parents of a large family and had been married for about 17 years. The two prisoners underwent a long examination yesterday, the particulars of which have not transpired.
Ooh, that don't sound good.
I bet that was something. But we understand it to have been similar to the former examinations. Shortly after his arrest, Arthur Spring told the sheriff that he, Tobias Mandeville, and Mrs. Snow had shot and killed John Snow and tossed his body into the Atlantic. The two men then promptly each tried to blame one another for the crime during interrogation, because who's on first? Why not? But Catherine, throughout the hours of questioning that she endured, she maintained her innocence and said that she had nothing to do with it. Both Mandeville and Spring pled not guilty, despite their previous admission, to the murder, and they were brought to trial with Catherine Snow on January 10th, 1834. After 12 hours of deliberation, it was decided that all three were guilty of murder.
Oh, shit.
Despite there being no evidence to support Catherine even being at the scene or having a hand in it. The Attorney General told the jury, "I can't prove which one fired the shot. Both were present for the murder. As to Catherine Snow, there is no direct or positive evidence of her guilt, but I have a chain of circumstantial evidence to prove her guilty."
That doesn't seem right.
It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Because if it's all circumstantial,
that shit ain't.
It does. It's not supposed to hold up in court. Attorney James Sims told the jury that there was no direct or positive evidence of her guilt, but she was nonetheless found guilty of murder, along with Mandeville and Spring, by an all-male jury.
How shocking.
Yeah, I know. Very shocking. The trio were sentenced to hang by the neck until dead, because hanging was a thing. Within days of the conclusion of the trial, both Mandeville and Spring would be hung, but Catherine received a 6-month stay of execution. Can you guess why?
Pregnant?
She was pregnant with her 8th child. And public outcry demanded that she be allowed to give birth and to nurse the child prior to being executed. While his mother sat in prison, Catherine's newborn son would be christened at the old Catholic chapel on Henry Street, which is just kind of sad. On July 21st, 1834, a large crowd gathered in front of the courthouse on Duckworth Street to witness the public spectacle. Catherine's last words were, "I was a wretched woman, but I am as innocent of any participation in the crime of murder as an unborn child."
Aww.
According to the public ledger, the unhappy woman, after a few brief struggles, passed into another world. So at least it was quick.
Not just a sad.
It's very,
like, just women had a hard time.
It's very sad. I mean, it's definitely, the circumstances are suspicious.
Yeah, but also she might have just been like, shit, everyone's gonna fucking think I killed my husband, and like freaked out.
And ran away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and if you have all of this hearsay from neighbors who are kind of nosy, and then it's a small town.
Yeah, you might just...
They're like, oh, well, she's, you know, she's sleeping with her cousin and whatever. And it, maybe they were.
Yeah.
I mean, back then, there weren't too many people in communities that weren't related because they were so isolated.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was totally a thing that happened.
Yeah, like, literally might have just been like, everyone's gonna fucking think I done killed my husband. I'm out.
See ya. Kids, make your own dinner. I gotta go hide in the woods. Yeah. Following her execution, the Catholic Church rallied her to have her sentence commuted, but all efforts to do so were fruitless. They were able to give her a Christian burial because they believed that she was innocent of murder, so she was laid to rest at the old Catholic cemetery in St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the end to Catherine's story.
Ooh.
Within days of execution, her ghost was seen roaming the interior of the courthouse and was spotted outside where the hanging had taken place.
Good bitch. They deserve to haunt there.
She's
shit.
Like, I'm fucking coming. I'll be back.
I'm pissed.
I'm fucking coming back. Her apparition was also witnessed in the cemetery where she'd been buried, and the local newspapers reported each sighting because I'm sure they probably had nothing else to report on. Everyone reported seeing Catherine's ghost, from blue-collar workers to the upper crust of society at the time, and there was buzz about this great injustice that had been done. Those who saw her ghost believed that she was unable to rest.
Mm-hmm.
It was apparent to that group of believers that Catherine Snow, doomed to wander having been accused of a crime she didn't commit, was innocent. And then I have an article from April of 2012 from the Telegram, which is the current newspaper in Newfoundland, the largest one. It is by a gentleman by the name of Jarvis, who runs the Haunted Hike in St. John's. He does an amazing job. When I lived in St. John's and was a teenager, we would often sneak onto the Haunted Hikes because once they got started, they couldn't tell whether or not you paid. So we would just kind of like sneak around behind the group and listen to the stories. That's what you do when you're a broke ass teenager. Like, what do you want to do tonight? I don't know. Just fucking wander around in the dark and listen to some ghost stories. Jarvis writes, "We in Newfoundland and Labrador love our history, but in a sense, I think we love our legends more. Our history, which for so long was predominantly oral, in so many cases, not oral that way. Stop it."
Sorry.
Verbal. "In so many cases has become mythologized through telling and retelling. Historians might argue that this process gets in the way of the truth of history. As a storyteller and folklorist, I think the process of turning history into legend at times enshrines greater truths. Turning history into story ensures that it lives on in the hearts of the tellers and the listeners in a way that dry facts do not. One of the interesting things about our local legends is that they so often feature strong or sympathetic female characters. Generations of Newfoundlanders and Labradorians have thrilled to the quasi-historical tales of Marguerite de Roberval's Northern Ireland imprisonment, Sheila Najera's love of the rogue Gilbert Pike, or Mistress Maria Cobham's pirate adventures on the west coast of the island. The truth of these stories vary. They are stories of survival, the power of love, and the corrupting force of greed. These are true things. So I think basically what Jarvis is trying to say here is that some of the aspects of this story, because they have been told and retold and retold and retold, are muddled.
Yeah, it's like playing telephone.
Right. And actually, if you look on Amazon, there is, I forget the name of the book, but it is a fiction work based on the hanging of Catherine Stone. So
I often, when I hear stories like that, it makes me feel like writing.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, essentially, you could take any prominent person from history and write...
Vampire Hunter or whatever the you fuck could, it was.
You could write a fictitious account of their life and just go from there. And a lot of people have done that. Like you said, Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, which was a terrible fucking movie, by the way. Please don't watch it.
I haven't, so...
I had to turn it off the instant that...
Damn.
The instant he turned around and he had the beard and the stovepipe hat, I was like, I'm done. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't anymore.
Did he also have vampire teeth?
He was a vampire hunter.
He could be hunting his own kind.
No. He wasn't Blade. He was Abraham Lincoln hunting fucking vampires. Okay. In 1846, the courthouse in which Catherine's trial had been held, and in front of which she had been murdered, burned to the ground. Her spirit was seen wandering after the fire and also during the building of the new courthouse. And then once the new building opened to the public, sightings of her ghost began again. I reached out to one of my cousins. Her name is Amanda. She is a lawyer and she often has to do business in that courthouse.
Ooh.
And so I reached out to her to see if she had had any experiences. She personally had not had any experiences. She was like, I try not to think about all of that shit, because in Newfoundland, every few steps that you take, something happened there. Mm-hmm. It's drenched in history. So everywhere you go, somebody's been murdered, somebody's been hanged, somebody's been, you know, there's a ghost supposedly haunting this place or that place. So it's just kind of all over the place. And that sort of, you know, oral history has kind of permeated everything. So she did say that she's going to reach out to some of her lawyer buddies.
Ooh, see if we can get some first-hand accounts.
And see if we can get some first-hand accounts. So if she happens to give me anything in the future, I will let the listeners know.
And me.
And you. You're also a listener at this point. But
this is true.
Yeah. This new courthouse was destroyed by the Great Fire of 1892 because St. John's apparently has shit luck when it comes to courthouses. But when the building was restored once again and reopened in 1902, Catherine's spirit was back. Her presence is still felt, and her apparition is still seen in the building. She's apparently primarily seen climbing the stairs, or wandering in the hallways. The elevator will move from floor to floor without being called. Ghostly footsteps can be heard, but no explanation can be found for these occurrences. In 1893, the old Catholic cemetery was sold, and St. Andrew's Presbyterian, they also call it the Kirk, was built on the site, and it opened its doors in 1896. Now, it's said that the remains of Catherine Snow weren't moved prior to St. Andrew's being built, so her remains supposedly are still somewhere under the building. And there have been reports of a woman wandering on the grounds. So you know, I suppose it's possible. But even that is not the end to Catherine's story.
I feel so bad for her. I just want her to rest.
In an effort to help her do that, mm-hmm. 179 years later, they held a new trial. And they got a new verdict. From an article from CBC News, Catherine Snow, who protested her innocence and was the last woman hanged in Newfoundland, a modern-day jury acquitted her of any wrongdoing. The case, which depended largely on circumstantial evidence, almost led to riots and has troubled jurists ever since. About 400 people turned out in St. John's this week, which was April 1st, 2012, as a panel of experts tried to set the record straight. The basics were the same: a judge, a prosecutor, a defense attorney, and a jury, the audience. The only thing missing was a proxy for the accused, 41-year-old Catherine Snow. Just before her hanging, Snow acknowledged that she was a wretched woman, but she said that she was as innocent as an unborn child in relation to her husband's death. The long-ago trial saw a testimony about traces of blood, marital infidelities, and a keen wish to have her husband dead.
Oh, that's definitely a good reason to murder someone.
The circumstantial evidence was enough to convict her at that time. Modern-day defense attorney Rose Ellen Sullivan said, "The evidence of the affair is so prejudicial, it's impossible to extricate it from the statements. There's no way that she could have had a fair trial. And especially not a fair trial at the hands of all of those men."
Mm-hmm. In her community.
In her community.
Who I'm sure all heard all the stories, had preconceived notions.
I'm sure it got around. Yeah. I'm sure it got around. Because they didn't hold the trial in Port de Grave or Harbor Grace. They held it in St. John's.
Yeah, but that shit.
So even though, I mean, the people from Port de Grave and Harbor Grace probably traveled to St. John's to watch the trial and subsequently to watch the hanging. The jury voted to acquit Snow of all wrongdoing. She may also be, in addition to being one of the last women hanged in Newfoundland, she may also be one of the earliest recorded cases of wrongful conviction. Mm. So, that is the story of Catherine Snow. And hopefully, I haven't seen anything recently, but hopefully that trial in 2012, that mock trial, was enough to kind of set the record straight for her and let her rest. So,
when things like that happen, part of me hopes that it's more of an imprint than the actual spirit of the person, and that at least part of them...
Not intelligent.
Yeah, part of them is at peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's just a long time to...
That's a very long time. 179 years?
Woo! It makes my heart hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, at the same time, for people to come together like that...
Yeah, and care
and
like that.
To care and to find it important enough...
that is powerful.
It's very powerful. And I think it's really testament, too, to the quality of the people in Newfoundland. Because they're all pretty fabulous.
Yeah, you're not biased at all, though.
I'm not biased at all. No, not at all. But
it's really funny, because I was talking about my hometown. Like,
right?
Like, oh, everyone's
Oh, man.
I moved 3.5 hours away for a reason.
Yeah, no. I mean, if I could make a living there, and we would probably still live there.
No, but you'd have to take me.
I would. I'd have to pack you in a case, a trunk.
Yeah.
So yeah, if any of you guys have ever visited the courthouse in St. John's or the Kirk's graveyard,
or Davila's Cave.
Or anything, please reach out to us and let us know your experiences. Hauntheadscast@gmail.com. Tweet us at Hauntheadscast. Give us a little shout out and let us know. And we'll let our other listeners know on a future episode what your experiences may have been.
I would love to hear any and all experiences people mm-hmm. have had. I always find that interesting. So I check the Insta pretty much every day. Like if you message, I will mm-hmm. I will read it, and like if you have had weird shit happen, I am so there for it. Like I might then not be able to sleep for a while,
right?
But I'm there for it.
Yeah, yeah. I think probably in the not too distant future, I'm going to reach out to Reddit again and see if I can get some real ghost stories from people.
Oh.
Because that last episode, I had to record it on my own.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty powerful episode, and there was some really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll have to do that sometime in the future.
Ooh, if we do that, I can write up one of mine, too.
Ooh, you can. You can include it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe at the end, if we have time. But, like, because I have had
Well, some... we can make time.
Yeah. And then you guys will get to hear my reading voice.
Oh.
I could pick one.
Like, really turn it on.
Oh, I can. My sister is... Even my sister up to the age of 15, 16 wants me to, like, read out loud when she's going to bed because...
Oh, yeah.
I got that shit.
Yeah. All right. So okay. are we done for this week? We're all good? No more announcements?
I think we've reached the end of the line for the time being.
Sounds good. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review wherever you binge your podcast.
Do it.
We would sure appreciate it. Do it to it. And we will talk to you next time.
Hang cool, teddy bears.
And as always, guys, stay spooky.
Oh, so like we're still gonna
St. James Infirmary. You know, I saw my baby there. Oh, she was stretched out on that long table.